Miss Lydia Albrecht and her baby boy. That's at my house, and the address is there in the bulletin. It's going to start at 1 o'clock, and we'll have a light lunch provided, so I hope you can all join us. And then for youth, 6th to 12th grade, there is a youth event this month, pizza and game night at Pietro's on Thursday the 25th, so make sure you mark your calendars for that. And there's prayer cards in the back by the basket, so if you have a prayer request, make sure you drop that off. Prayer is going to be moved also tonight. It'll still be at 6 o'clock, but it'll be at our house, and so that, again, that is the bulletin. Pastor Chris is sick with the flu, so you can be praying for him, and that's why he's not here this morning and why we're moving prayer. So Dr. Paul is going to be sharing with us this morning. He stepped up last minute, and so we're excited to have him here to share with us this morning.
Yahoo. All right, bring your cake with you. Good morning to everybody. How's everyone doing? One's doing well. Everybody's still wondering if they're up yet. All right. Everybody get the handout for the sermon notes so you can take your notes. Something that we started just recently. And so hopefully that helps you. It shows you where we're going and then it's put in the scriptures that we're going to be using. This morning, we're going to be looking at shaking. Has anybody ever been through an earthquake? All right. A really good earthquake? I mean, there's no such thing as a really good earthquake, but a big earthquake. All right. Yeah. Earthquakes. In Alaska, when we lived in Alaska for 30 years, and it was a pretty common occurrence. We got them all the time up there, and they ranged from anywhere from 4, 5, 6. And, you know, for us, it wasn't anything big. I know in 64, when Lynn was up there, that's when the big earthquake hit. And, I didn't hear it, so that must be a good thing. So it's good to be deaf in both ears. So anyway, so the whole idea is that shaking. I want you to think about being shaken. And today, today we have to be almost careful what we say. And like in politically correct, I don't match that real well because I say usually what's on my mind. But there's a cute little story that says in today's political correctness environment, we have to be careful and to keep from offending anyone. We might have to give reports of, like this fourth grader reported on the origins of Thanksgiving. Here's a report. The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you-know-what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you-know-who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday, you-know-where. Is that politically correct? I didn't offend anybody, did I? Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah. So, St. Augustine of Hippo writes this, and he lived in 354 to 438 B.C. Says, God of our life, there are days when the burdens we carry chafe our shoulders and weigh us down. When the road seems dreary and endless, the sky is gray and threatening, when our lives have no music in them, and our hearts are lonely, and our souls have lost their courage. Flood the path of light, we beseech thee. Turn our eyes to where the skies are full of promise. Turn our hearts to brave music. Give us a sense of comradeship with heroes and saints of every age. And so quicken our spirits that we may be able to encourage the souls of all who journey with us on the road of life to thy honor and glory. We're going to talk about prayer today. We're going to talk about prayer in the early church. So we want to talk about prayer in a time of need, prayer in time of persecution, prayer in time of plenty, and prayer in time of answered prayer. So we're going to be working in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. If you take your notes out, you'll be able to start with that. Chapter 4, starting in verse 23 through 31. And to give you a short synopsis of what's going on, is that The church has been born. The church has been told to go out to all the ends of the world. And Peter and John are still in Jerusalem, and they get arrested because they're preaching a gospel that the Pharisees did not want them to preach. And they're using the word that they did not want them to use, and that name is Jesus. And so they get arrested for the first time. And they get put in prison. And then they get brought in before the Sanhedrin the following day. And then next thing you know is that the Sanhedrin, they don't know what to do here because Peter and John just healed the man. Well, it was Jesus who did the healing. And now they're confused as, well, we can't say anything back, but here's a guy who's been healed, but we need to scold them because they're preaching in the name of Jesus, and this is the guy we crucified. So what are we going to do? So they got together. And so they came back and they said, okay, we can't say anything about the healing, so we're going to tell you you can't preach anymore using that name. That's it. End of conversation. Don't preach anymore. They didn't really obey it. Because if you look what Peter says, he says, listen, if we choose between following God's rule and your rule, we're following God's rule. We're going to preach it. And so now they've been released. This is where we pick it up in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that they had raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are my God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, or the anointed. But truly against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, will gather together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that all with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand and to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's a lot. So let me ask you a question. In the Old Testament, is it necessary? Do we still need the Old Testament? You sure? Why? Because what? Well, back up with the New Testament goes. Okay. Well, so I heard at one time when I was teaching the class that we don't need the Old Testament because it's just a bunch of old stories. Is that true? Not a bunch of old stories? It is, but we still need it, right? So, if... Okay, to a point I'll agree with that because it's not definitely not history, but yes. The prophecies, okay. So Jesus, when he came, he says, look, I'm here to fulfill a bunch of old stories. No, I'm here to fulfill Scripture. So the Hebrew side of it, the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, is part and partial to the New Testament, the Greek Bible. And Jesus came to fulfill the Scripture. And if you can understand that Jesus is in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, as well as the New Testament, the Greek Bible, you're going to see that the whole Bible is about Jesus. So we're needing the whole thing. So, should we know the Old Testament? Yes. Do you read the Old Testament? All right. Because the beauty of this is that what we just read is a combination of a lot of the Old Testament. And if we know the Old Testament, you can start and look at how to do prayer. How do you pray? Well, we can sit here and just ad lib. Or we can sit here and go to the Book of Common Prayer from that's out there, and we can pray those prayers. Or we can go to the Bible and pray the prayers that are in the Bible. The prayer is Lord's Waters prayer. Is that not an addressing to God, a discussion with God, a dialogue with God? Is not prayer a way of communicating that, communing with God? And how we do it is no set one way. There are many ways to pray. You can pray on your knees, you can pray standing up, you can pray sitting down, you can pray prone, you can pray on your back. Makes no difference how you do it. But what's your attitude in prayer? So prayer. But will God listen to a bunch of convicts? Huh? Will you listen to a bunch of convicts? A bunch of hoodlums. A bunch of jail people. Will you listen to them? You sure? Yeah, huh? Peter and John are released from prison and report to the congregation. On their release, Peter and John went to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how many people have actually been in prison? Just some of the people that were there was Joseph, Jeremiah, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Silas, and there's a bunch of others. They've all been in jail, prison. So welcome to the original prison ministry. Chuck Colson has nothing on anybody. He's got a great prison ministry, but he didn't start it. This is at least 5,000 years old when the Jewish people were out there. So the whole idea is that, are you willing to go to prison for your beliefs? And we're living in a world now that in many parts of the world, not only will you go to prison, but you also need to be killed. You go to Nigeria, Boko Haram, they'll kill you. They like going to church on Sunday, Christian churches on Sunday. They like fighting the pastor and shooting them in front of the congregation. They like doing that, and then they'll shoot their families. And they'll do that. Then they'll turn around, and just for the fun of it, they'll lock everybody in the building and burn the building down. That's just one place. You go to South Sudan or Sudan, you go to any other place, Christianity is being attacked viciously. And yet people are dying for that today. The original apostles and the early church were willing to go to church, were willing to go to prison. They wouldn't back down. Now, this should be nothing new for us. We should expect this. We shouldn't go, I never saw that coming. Why? Look at Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And right in there in Matthew 5, 11, and 12, he says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Whine and complain. Oh, always me. Wait a minute. I don't think he said that, did he? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're living in a world when it's not, you know, everything is right except for Christianity. So you know, things are upside down. There should be no surprises here. So when we get persecuted, do not be surprised. Because they're not persecuting you for your sake, they're persecuting you for Christ's sake. Can you get me on that? Paul and Silas in Acts 16, 19 through 26. But when her owners, as the owners of a slave girl, saw that the hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd had joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore off the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in an inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. After midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Wow. Paul and Silas were in prison. They'd been beaten within an inch of their life. They're bruised and swollen, and now their feet are in stocks, and their feet are swollen, and they can't move. And what are they doing? They're singing and praising God. Singing and praising God. How are we doing on that? How are we doing on that? The congregation now, as they come to the congregation, to the people that they're meeting with, it's the disciples, it's a combination of the apostles and the disciples, Peter and John come back to. And they accept them wholeheartedly. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to pray to God. They're just listening to them. They reported all the chief priests had said. So the congregation now, when they heard this, they raised their voices and prayed to God. And it's debated interpretation of this verse. Some say that they raised their voice in prayer all at the same time, or others say one person prayed. I'm used to doing both ways. In Utah, the church we were in, one of the churches we attended, was the deacon would come up at a certain time in the worship service. He would come up and he'd come over here with his pencil and paper and he'd say, okay, prayer time. And you, the congregation, would say, I'm going to pray for my sister Mary who's sick. He'd write that down. I'll pray for my brother. Write that down. Pray for the pastor. Write that down. Pray for whatever. He writes it all down. Now when no more suggestions to come up, he now turns around, takes that piece of paper, and what's he do with it? He prays it all back. So, oh Lord, we pray for these people, for Mary's brother, Mary's sister, whatever, and amen. That's one form of praying. Were they doing that with John and Paul? Or John and Peter? We don't know. The other way of praying is what I think they might have done, is this way. In Africa, when they pray, when we have worship in Africa, there's a worship leader. And the worship leader will stand, I mean, everybody's on their feet, by the way. And there's a lot of motion and movement. And so when the person says it's time to pray, and we want to pray now for our pastor who is sick, all of a sudden, all the voices go up at one time. God hears all that. Can you make out what they're saying? Not important. But God can hear it all. Amen? That must be what heaven sounds like. Everybody's up there just praying, and then when it's time, the person will say, in Jesus' name. And everybody stops. Then they come up with another topic, whatever it is. And then all stop praying again and doing that. And some are moving their arms, and some are dancing, and some are just lifting all up their voices, and they're just crying out to God. Wow, it's alive. Praise alive. I prefer the second method over the first method. Prayer is alive. When you pray, pray, pray with enthusiasm. Pray with gusto. Enthusiasm, entahas, the Greek, in God. Pray with fervent. Oh, when we pray, let's pray. Let's get this place shaken. Praying out to God. So how is it they prayed, you ask? They acknowledge that God is in control. Do you realize that God is in control of everything? 1 Corinthians, or 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 13. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of all things. How many things is that? All things. Wait a minute. Does that mean he's in control of the good things and the bad things that happen to us also? Is going to jail a good thing or a bad thing? You sure? Huh? So as a Christian, if I go to jail, is that a good thing or a bad thing? If I go to jail for being a Christian, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Wait a minute. I signed up to be a Christian. I didn't sign up to go to jail. Really? That's Christianity your way, not God's way. You know why Paul ended up in jail? Because he wouldn't sit down long enough to write a letter. So God got his attention. Now he's in jail and he writes all these letters, which end up being in the Bible. Amen? Paul will still be traveling. So the whole idea is that God is in control, and no matter what the circumstances are, go to God. No matter what the circumstances are, don't look at them, look to God. And the question you might want to ask is, God, how are you going to get glory out of this? I just had a loss of one of my family members in Sierra Leone, a young lady I met when I first went there. Sweet young lady. And I learned how you can say things in Africa that you have to be very concise. And the first time I met her, we got talking. She wanted to go to school and finish her secondary school, and she needed a computer. I said, well, let's see. Well, translation, that's yes, where is it? So, over the course of 10 years, we built a really great relationship. She's a great young lady. And she did get her laptop. But eventually, just last year, around September, she got some kind of bite in the feel of something, but it affected her legs. And she's only about 23 now. And so then I get an email, I get a voicemail, and she's asking for prayer. And then next thing is, she needs money for the hospital. And the hospital in Sierra Leone is not a place you want to be sick. You'd rather be in the field someplace, it's cleaner. So then I get a video showing her in the hospital, and her legs are out like this, both legs. And the sad news is she just died. That's not fair. That's not fair. But God's in control. Going to get glory out of this. Can't look at the circumstances. God, how are you going to get glory out of this? I thank him for the 10 years of memories I have with this young lady. And Lynn got a chance to meet her also. And how she's affected her family by becoming a Christian. Now she's affected her church in a place called Vincola. Oh, God, how do you think I have glory out of this? He took her home. We got to acknowledge that God is in control of all things at all times. We may not understand it, but we have to learn to accept it. So they acknowledge God, that God is in control. Second thing they did, they used Scripture to pray to God. They used Scripture. You know, you hear a lot of people, I don't go to prayer meetings, I just don't know how to pray. Let me tell you how to pray. Read the Bible. Read it back to God. They said here, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against the anointed one. That's right out of Psalm 2. That's a prophecy. David prayed that. But if you look at Psalm 2, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 2. Look what this says. This is the Messiah's triumphal entry, Messiah's kingdom. It talks about the Messiah. Why do the nations rage and the people plot and vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. That's fulfilled here. We'll see how it was fulfilled by Pilate and Herod and the Jews and the Gentiles. That was fulfilled. And talking about the Anointed One. The Anointed One is Messiah. Christos. Jesus. That's the Anointed One. Right back here in Psalm 2. If you want to learn how to pray, pray the scriptures. And in Psalm 2, only here in Acts 4 is that the first two verses quoted. Talking about the Anointed One in Christ. In 27, verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pilate, Pontius Pilate, met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Indeed, Herod, and this is a fulfillment of the Psalm 2. In fact, the expression indeed introduces the application. Herod and Pontius Pilate are identified as the kings of the earth, the rulers who met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against Jesus. The amazing thing is that Herod and Pontius Pilate were enemies. Enemies, they hated each other. And yet because of Jesus and his crucifixion, they ended up being buddies. Scripture shows us that. They ended up being, I don't know if you could say friends, but they ended up working together. So we see that they use Scripture to pray to God, and we can use Scripture to pray to God. You want to see how prayers are said? Look at prayers. Look at Hannah when she prays. Look at David when he prays. There's all types of praise. There's praise of giving thanks. You know, the old story is that you have all these 55-gallon trash bags, you know, the big ones, and we fill them up with prayer requests. And then we have many of these here. And then we have this little bag about this big. Those are our bag of thanks. And they all go to heaven. How is it? That's all we have of thanks. You ever go to God, just thank Him? Spend time with Him just to thank Him? What do you want to thank Him for? How about every heartbeat you have is His? Because if He's in control of everything, He's in charge of my heartbeat. Anybody here ever have a heart attack? I've had two. Let me tell you, when He takes that heart and makes it go cuckoo, He gets your attention. Okay? How about every breath you have? You want to see what you look like? Blue? Lord, thank you for the breath I have in my lungs, and then I can take the next one. How about the ability just to sit? Because you have a backbone that's going to keep you up. Rather than be a sponge and we have to lay down. Everything you have, you should be able to give glory to God with, including that little one back there. I know children are a pain in the neck, but what a blessing. Praise God. So what is it we need to be thankful? Thankful, 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 and praise God. And look at the prayers in the Bible that you can pray back to God until you have your own words. Pray back to God. Thank you, God. Look at the Psalms. Pray that back. Look at some of the things that the prophets have prayed. Pray those back. And as you're reading these prayers, put yourself in that person's and say, I'm joining this person and giving you thanks, God. And somehow or another, you're going to get the glory out of this, that no matter what the circumstances are, we thank you. And thank you for getting these guys out of prison. They just told what was happening. Praise God. What did Paul and Silas pray about? They had been beaten, and they're black and blue, swollen, and they're sitting there at midnight praising God, singing to Him. it wasn't for the beating, it was a privilege. The privilege of being called his. And they revealed God's plan of salvation. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand that should happen. In Romans 5 and 6, Romans 5, verse 6, it says this, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more have been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have now received the reconciliation." Jesus' death on the cross, he was accursed. Scripture tells us that. To die on a cross, you're accursed. And yet, how did God get the glory out of that? And how is it that we can be here today because of that? The cross was not an accident. Jesus' death was not a surprise. He's not a martyr. He willingly and knowingly did that. That was his plan all along. Read John. Follow John. His hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. And then we see him when the Greeks come and they say they want to see Jesus. His hour has not come. And right after that, we start in chapter 14, 14, 15, 16, and 17 with the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. 18, he gets arrested. Then he gets hung on a cross. And we know it doesn't stop there because we know he rises from the dead. We know that he can reconcile with Peter in chapter 21. Reconciliation. Imbalance. Reconcile your checkbooks. How many of you do that? It's the same thing. He reconciled the balance that we would do death and hell. And because of what he did, it shifted. And we now can have heaven. And we're in balance because of him. The cross is not an accident. They petition God for boldness. Do you petition God for boldness? Verse 29, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." How many of you want to see miracles work through your hand? Yeah. Maybe. You pray God for that? But you remember that whatever happens is that it's not you doing it, it's God doing it through you. This hand can perform no miracles. This voice can perform no miracles. But God can. Through this man, through this voice. One time I was preaching in Africa, I was preaching in English, Ben was translating in another language, and come to find out we had a third language there. And they were not being translated in a third language. So at the end of the whole service, and after we're all done, the preaching and everything else, and now the beauty is that here comes this lady, sitting all the way in the back, decked out in a beautiful African dress with the big hat. And she's coming whirling and singing in her tongue. And she comes up to the front, giving God the glory. She said she understood everything that was said, but we didn't speak in her language. And she heard and understood everything I said. Who did that? God did that. How much can I take credit? Can I take? Zero. Are you willing to let God work in you and through you? Are you praying for boldness? I want to speak to my sister about Christ, but I'm so afraid. Ask for boldness. Everything done in love can be done. Ask for boldness. They ask for boldness. They petition God for boldness. Consider their threats. The threats of the Pharisees and all these other guys. Consider those threats. And enable your servants to speak the words with great boldness. They've just been told to shut up. Don't you ever mention that name again. Give us boldness that we can mention Jesus. Jesus. Stretch out your hand, O Lord, and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence entered the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us not stop meeting together. I love being here on Sundays. I love meeting with us together because we come in the house of God to worship God together. Let us not stop meeting here. Give us boldness to bring more people here. Give us those 50 who are not saved. Give us those 50 that we can take, each of us, and work with. Give us those 50. That 50 more can come after them. Give us the boldness to speak Jesus. So they're asking for two things, two conditions. Consider their threats. Consider their threats, Lord. We're not. And give us boldness. So how did God do? God reveals his presence and answers their prayers. He answers their prayers. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The place was shaken. Now Paul and Silas later on, the place was shaken there too. And the gates of all the gates of the prison were open. If you follow that story in 16 of Acts, you'll see that the jailer was not ready to commit suicide because he was going to be held responsible for all these people that would have been lost as prisoners. And Paul shouted out in the dark with no light, "Don't do it!" How do you know that? Next thing you know, this jailer is taking Paul and Silas to his own home. He takes care of their wounds. He feeds them. If Paul has something for them, he feeds him. The next thing you know is the jailer and his family become followers of Christ. How did God get the glory out of Paul's and Silas' beating? We have new brothers and sisters in Christ called the jailer and his family. What would happen if we go to jail? What will come out of that? How will God get the glory? Are you speaking for boldness? Give me boldness, Lord. Not rudeness, but boldness. And let it be your words, not my words. You see, when you hammer, everything looks like a nail. But when you have a jackhammer, it's even worse. So you have to use temperament. Speak, you speak through me and lead me out of the way. But give me the boldness to do that. Boldness. And the place is shaking. Shaken. You want to be shaken today? Why not? Shaken. D.L. Moody says, some men's prayers need to be cut short at both ends and set on fire in the middle. God's not wanting to hear a bunch of words from you. Let us not be like a bunch of babbling brooks. Those are that. But when you pray, pray like this. Pray, 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 praying for boldness. And God will answer that call. But when you pray, pray believing that God will answer. Pray with no doubt, tells us in James. So the result of the church prayer is this. First, the place where there was meeting was shaken. That special manifestation of God's presence was there. Why do we not expect God's presence here today? Why not? Why can't this place not be shaken today? Did you come expecting that today? Or is it just so-so? Same old, same old. Do you want this place to be shaken? Do you want God to manifest His presence through here and this place one form or another so that this place when we leave here, we are different? What do you want? I want this place to be shaken. And when after we all stop turning white because of the shakenness, we realize, hey, wait a minute. Who cares if an earthquake? It was of God, and God says, hey, have I got your attention yet? You asked for it. I'm giving it to you. Now take it and do something good with it. Go forth and preach boldly into the world that does not want to hear it, but the world that needs it. Same as it was 2,000 years ago as it is today. The Pharisees didn't want to hear it, and we got a lot of people today that don't want to hear it. God says, go. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, which is not the second anointing that you saw in Acts chapter 2. They were just filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. On a continuous basis, when's the last time you asked Jesus for the Holy Spirit to fill you? Are you asking Him every day? What about wisdom? James says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask. How much? Small, small. Now, open that river and flood me. So asking and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, they spoke the word of God boldly. Are you feeling comfortable right now? Can you speak the word boldly? We were kidding. We were going to have Harvey come up and preach today. No offense, but if you've been going to church all your life, you should be up here preaching. You come up here, what does that mean? It means you know the Word of God, you're going to take the Word of God, and you're going to give it to us in a form that's going to be not entertaining, but enlightening. With a purpose. Go forth and preach the Word of God to everybody that we know and don't know. Faithful community as we are right here, we need to gather together as a community and go forth into this community, this brand new community that's being built right here at all this housing, and go to them. Boldly proclaim proclaim in the name of Jesus. So let's look at everything in here. We're going to be bold. We want to talk about God. And what this is what he's done for us. Well, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. That you was plural. That means everyone that says yes and signs on a dotted line that wants to be a Christian is now a witness of Jesus Christ. Here in your hometown, as well as any other place God sends you. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You don't need a college degree. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need any of that. Just read your Bible. Let God work in you and through you. And they'll recognize, hey, you didn't go to college, did you? Nope, doesn't make any difference. But the Word of God says this. I'm ashamed. Because Jesus. And remember, once you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit seals you. And we continue to keep Him filling us. And He will teach us. Acts 9:29, and he, Paul, spoke and disputed amongst the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. It's not going to be easy. People are going to threaten you. So what? It's the worst thing that can happen. People say, aren't you afraid to go to Africa and go, no, because God's sending me. And every time I go, it's because he said yes. Now, if I die over there, big deal. Lynn knows already I'm going to get buried there. You guys are going to have a party here. Okay? It's that simple. Why should I be afraid to go where God sends me? Why should I be afraid? Acts 14:1-4. Now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles. We're going to get that today. It's going to happen. Titus says, let no one discard you. Don't worry about it. First Peter says, 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Hey, that's what you signed up for. You okay? You okay with that? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. See, we don't need to be rude and crude when we talk about Christ. We can be loving and open, and not everybody's going to want to hear it. That's not a problem. Save no one. People said, how many people have you saved? You've preached to thousands. I said, yep. And I saved zero. Because if I saved anybody, they're going to hell. Jesus saves no one else. Amen? Our job is to profess the gospel. That's what we're to do. So we started with prayer. We saw the circumstances that they came out of jail and they joined the prayer meeting that was going on. So we need to continue to pray. They were praying at all times. They had groups praying, people out there doing, people supporting them in prayer. Tonight we have prayer. There'll be prayer warriors out there. How many of us will be out there professing the gospel? Prayer in time of need. Prayer in time of persecution. Prayer in time of plenty. Oh, my bucket is full, Lord. Thank you. Hey, you want to give me more? My goodness. Okay, let me share all this. Prayer in time of answered prayer. And they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Remember Captain Kirk? Go boldly where no man has been. And we're taking the gospel there. Amen. So are you ready to have this place shaken? Started a little while ago, Chris started, which is really sweet. And you have an opportunity to kind of voice your opinion and say things or what anything here strike your KT microphone is getting. Anything catch your eye or catch your ear? Okay, we have here we go, Sharon.
Yes.
Says you can't leave here till noon, so you must ask questions. What do you think? Does this make sense? is really conversation. Prayer is conversation. And what's conversation? Somebody's speaking, the other person's listening and processing what's being said. And then they'll come back and speak some more about that which is just going on. We're in a dialogue. And then, so prayer isn't just asking, all right, here's my shopping list, God, I'll come back and, when it's filled. Way more than that. It's reading there and ready. Okay, God says, well, listen, I listen to you. Won't you listen to me? So, yeah. So how do we pray? That's a question they ask in Luke 11. Verse 1. Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. Yes. Places over there that if you're Muslim and you convert over to Christianity, then you can be killed. It's fair game. So it depends on the village you're in. We have a couple of young men that we had to take out of one village and take them into our compound because they've been threatened with death because they converted over to Christianity. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, all right, good stuff. So there you go. Pray fervently. Pray boldly. But ask God, who's in control of all things, to lead us and guide us to His glory, to His honor, and His praise. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for the music.